At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. When it comes to your shower routine, Irish Spring knows that what matters most is feeling refreshed. It's crisp, fresh, unmistakable scent. Zings your brain, awakening your senses. So you emerge from the shower ready to take on the day and smell great while you're doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at Walmart.
This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan Sliced. Since the dawn of bread, people have known the truth. Sliced is better. That's why new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors. Pineapple Daiquiri, Strawberry Margarita, Mango Mai Tai, and Passion Fruit Hurricane. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus only.
My dog in the background is very concerned every time I leave the room to go top up my coffee.
She's poking her head up right now. Oh, now she's back.
Yeah, now she's back to sleep. She knows it's time to record the leaf spot, so she has at least an hour.
She knows she's got some time.
Score! Johnny Toronto! I wonder if they can hear it on Long Island.
2-0. Riley Rostovic. Great save by Anderson. Riley stayed onside. The late man Matthews. Great move. What a goal. Beauty. Austin Matthews.
Matthews flipped it up for Marner. Mitch Marner centering. Hyman to the net. Scores.
He took fast down and his jockstrap is in the corner.
All right, here we go. Episode 40 of Not Another Leafs Podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network at Kent Stapon, at BMcCarthy95, at LeafsPod, at HockeyPodNet. And a reminder that this podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. This weekend's UFC 261 is sure to be a can't-miss event. Every punch, kick, and knockout means so much more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes. That's right, for this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. How do you win? If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge on the line than to test and compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about basketball and hockey, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs throughout the week. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. What do we want you to do? Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code THPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Brendan McCarthy with me on this Monday, April 19th. Brendan, how are you, brother?
I'm good, Kenny. I mean, what a feel-good story, feel-good game for the Vancouver Canucks. You can't be mad at that. It just, you couldn't have scripted a better game. And after all they've been through the past month, kudos. Kudos to Vancouver. I still thought Toronto played relatively well in many facets of the game, but kudos. And of course, on the back of their captain, Bo Horvat, who had two snipes, including the game winner. So huge, huge pat on the back to Van. That's just a great, great story.
When you say that you can't be mad at it, I would beg to differ, because I saw a lot of people very mad at the fact that the Toronto Maple Leafs lost this game. I'm in the camp that you are. Great story for the Canucks. I thought that the Maple Leafs were the better team on the ice. I thought they had substantially more shots. They had more possession. They had better shots. And it's what's kind of been the story all year for this team, Braden Holtby was the better goalie in this contest. Jack Campbell, I didn't think he played badly, but you would like to probably have one of those two shots of Horvat by Horvat stay out of the net, kind of long-range seeing-eye shots where there wasn't any traffic or screens in front, and the Vancouver captain is able to beat Jack Campbell twice on the evening, including the OT winner, and the Canucks get the win.
Yeah, and you know what? This is what happens in Leafland. We pump up a guy so much, and then, you know, reality sets in. And I looked like the crazy one a couple weeks ago saying Freddie Anderson should still be the starter. And everyone thought I had two heads, apparently. But here we are. I mean, you look back against the Winnipeg Jets, three goals in on three shots in like 3 minutes or something. And then two very eerily similar goals, short side blocker yesterday given up on Bo Horvat. I thought he was probably the worst Leaf last night, which is strange to say, but I mean, he needs to be much better. And we know it's well documented that he's a very emotional goaltender. He takes it to heart. Obviously, he's beloved, but he's got to tweak a few things because, you know, you can go and set these records and have these feats and everything, but it's remaining consistent and being able to remain stable and not just have flashes of greatness, right?
No, certainly, and he gave up three goals last night in 24 shots. That's a sub-900 save percentage. Toronto did outshoot Vancouver 39-24, so that gives you kind of an indication of how they were able to control the play. Nice to see William Nylander find the score sheet in his return, a goal and an assist for Nylander. Austin Matthews also able to find the score sheet in the Maple Leafs loss. I believe that means it's number 33 on the year for Austin Matthews, so he continues to run away with the Rocket race at this point. It's basically his to lose. If he scores at a remedial pace for the rest of the season, he would probably still solidify the top spot in that race. A little bit of a scary moment for Maple Leafs forward Zach Hyman as he takes a knee-on-knee hit from Alex Edler, leaves the game. Edler gets 5 minutes in a game misconduct for the hit. I want to gauge your thoughts on what you thought or what you saw on that play in particular.
Very tricky situation because prior to that collision, I believe Edler was pushing on a 3 minute shift. So he was obviously gassed and the conditioning wasn't up to par, but still a really, really gutless play. And he most certainly will face supplemental discipline. He's supposed to have a hearing later today. I think he's got to have at least 5 games, Kenny. I don't know about you, but it was
five games.
I don't care if you're gassed. Like that's where you can't use the I've been off for a month condition. Like you're playing. And it's the tail end of the shift, but I was infuriated. And if the Leafs lose Hyman for an extended period of time, look out, because that just kind of changes the overall landscape of the lineup as he's such a catalyst wherever he fits into the lineup. So I'm kind of, you know, scratching here to figure out what we got. But
you're going off the top rope for sure. Friedman and David Amber sort of did a little look back on other supplemental discipline that's come from players that have instigated knee-on-knee contact. And I think the majority of them are generally one or two games. It's usually not more than that. I think part of it also comes the severity of the punishment will come from what the Maple Leafs announce. If Hyman's going to miss extended period of time, then that usually plays in. You hope to hear later today that it's not serious, but whenever it's a knee, it can be super dicey. And as we've pointed out in the past, Hyman is a key cog in this Maple Leafs lineup. So missing him for any period of time would be extremely detrimental for this forward group. Now, the one thing I will say about Edler is he hasn't been suspended in the NHL since 2013, something that Friedman also pointed out. But he does have a history with sticking the knee out there. If you remember back in the day, I believe it was the same year. It was either 2012 or 2013. Edler actually went knee-on-knee with Eric Staal in international competition against Team Canada. And Staal was very hurt on the play. I was watching the clip this morning on YouTube and it was the same thing, sort of sticks the knee out, takes him out. I'm not certain that the motive was there from Edler, but you have to be very cognizant when you're going north, the other guy's going south, where you're going to stick that extremity. Because the knee on knee can be, somebody's going down Like, I've been involved with them on both sides and when I played in high school hockey. It's a terrible feeling when you get the guy with the knee because you know that how serious the injury can be. And it's an even worse feeling when you're the guy who gets the knee contact and then you're down on the ice wondering if you've torn your ACL, MCL, whatever the hell is going on. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a game or two. But it's just an unfortunate play. And a bang-bang play, like you said. He was out on the ice for a while, and that sort of stuff seems to happen when guys get fatigued. Sort of the mind starts going a little bit slower, and you do things that you might not normally do.
It's unnerving to think, too, because if you remember a couple years ago in the playoffs, I believe it was 2018 or 19, one of the series against the Bruins, where Hyman had an awkward collision. I believe it was a really bad lower body injury. It might have been a hamstring. Now, I'm not saying it's directly correlated, but he has had problems, like the lower body, legs in particular. So this isn't good, considering how they lost him for an extended period of time during the playoffs, and this is even before the postseason. So I'm sure we'll have an update in the next couple hours. We're recording this around 10 a.m. on Monday, so we'll see. Crossing our fingers here.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. What did you make of the goal and or no goal call late in the third period? The Maple Leafs seemed to think that they had poked it in on the net. It was a weird play. Couldn't really see from a definitive angle, although people online were, you know, posting all sorts of pictures where they were circling the puck. I tend to be in the camp that you couldn't see it clearly, and that's the letter of the law.
I'm with you.
It has to be definitive. And as many, you know, circles as I saw online and sort of blowing it up, it didn't look clear to me that the puck was in the net, even if it was, and that the Maple Leafs were lobbying for it, obviously, to be what would have ultimately been the game-winning goal with about 20 seconds left in the third period there. I didn't see enough to overturn that play.
No, and if I believe it was before, Matthews almost had another deceiving goal, because his first goal, he was the only person in Rogers Arena that saw it go in.
He did not even pretend. He did not even pretend that he was going to keep playing after he scored that.
He immediately was like, everyone come to me, that is in the back of the net. But man, he was inches of making a similar looking goal on the other end. I believe it went top post to the side post and out. So he could have had a pair too. And yeah, I didn't think the Leafs played horribly. Obviously that it was in their favor considering Vancouver hasn't played in a month. And they were missing some key pieces, especially some depth pieces. But, you know, they had ample opportunity. Simmons with that chance on the break. Marner had a break. But Braden Holtby turned into 2018 Cup Final Braden Holtby. He was spectacular last night.
He looked like Dominik Hasek.
Like, what was that save,
with that
man?
Butterfly sort of roll over the top.
You'll be seeing
that one on the you'll be seeing that one on the highlight reels for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very archaic goalie style. But he kept the puck out of the net. He was outstanding last night. The best Canuck by far.
I think he was too. I think this is more of a impressive win for the Canucks. Would you agree? I know you can kind of throw hate at the Leafs saying, how did you not win? That was yours for the taking. But this is more of a heroic win for the Canucks. Like, all kudos is going to the Canucks, I'd say.
I think that the Leafs probably deserved a better result, given when you look at the advanced metrics, they were dominating possession. I know expected goals aren't worth a damn unless you put the goal in the back of the net, but they were dominating that area of the game as well. They thought they were just the better team, but as has been the story so many times this year, the team on the other side had the better goaltender on this night, and so Toronto isn't able to get the win. In large part, I thought that the Leafs probably deserved a better result in their loss to Winnipeg on Thursday as well. 5-2 the final in that one. I thought that one deserved to be a little bit closer as well, despite the Leafs missing two of their top players in Austin Matthews and William Nylander.
Well, we've talked about this so much, how Winnipeg and Toronto match up so well on paper. And, man, Nick Ehlers, he doesn't get a ton of love other than, you know, fantasy owners.
He should.
But he has been one of the streakiest, sneakiest studs in the Scotia North. And I'd say he's arguably been one of the top three players in the league this year. That might be a bit of a stretch. Maybe
all
not
right,
in the league.
Right.
Maybe
relax,
not in the league.
Relax.
Yeah.
Not even in the Canadian division.
Who hosts the Jets podcast? They probably love that.
The Skates and Plates podcast.
Okay, maybe not the league, but I'd say in the Scotia North. Would you agree? One of the top three players in the Scotia North this year?
Absolutely not. Because
No,
because you got Draisaitl, McDavid, and Matthews who are dominating everybody. and I'd even put Mitch Marner above it. Has Idler's been very impressive? Yes, but you know I hate these lists of ranking guys, you know, where they are versus other players in the league. I think that Idler's has been a very effective forward for the Jets this year. Certainly, I would put him as he's obviously one of the top three most valuable forwards on his team alongside Mark Scheifele, and I would say probably Kyle Connor is more important to that group even than Blake Wheeler at this point. But when you're comparing them to transcendental talents such as Matthews, Draisaitl, and McDavid, who likely could be playing in a league above the NHL's level of competition if that were available to them, I think it's so difficult to compare to those sorts of players who are putting up just absolutely insane numbers.
Well, I don't know what that word you just said, transcendental. I'll have to go
transcendental.
To word of the day.
Yeah, I just galaxy brain you. Yeah, it's like when now, it transcends the normal level of talent.
Okay. Well, look, I obviously my argument gets buried when you mention Draisaitl, McDavid, and Matthews. But if you think of Ehlers, though, just to give him some love, like, I don't think he's missed a game. He's averaging like a point or two a game. And he's just been a fixture, man. Like, he hasn't like missed any games due to injury or COVID protocol. He's just been consistent. So maybe not one of the most lethal scorers.
I would suggest one of the most consistent
players in the North.
I would suggest what you were probably trying to say is maybe one of the top three most underrated players in the North Division when you look at it. He doesn't get a ton of love outside of Winnipeg, but he's been outstanding this year for the Jets. Cheap contracts too. He's getting paid less than William Nylander. I believe when you look at the points per game this year, he has about 10 more points per game, or 10 more points on the season rather, than Nylander. So he's been very effective for Winnipeg. They were effective the other night. The guys that we've been talking about, the Winnipeg goals were Ehlers, Connor, Scheifele, Ehlers, Connor.
Yeah, so, Ehlers was the Leafs' daddy, as you like to say. He almost had a hat trick the other night. So
yeah, who is your daddy and what does he do? Nikolai Ehlers and Kyle Connor have been outstanding for that group. And they haven't skipped a beat, even though Wheeler missed a little bit of time there. The Jets are going to be a tough out. And you know, even though Toronto, I thought, again, played well against Winnipeg, it was evident that they were missing Auston Matthews and William Nylander in that contest. And despite outshooting the Jets 15-5 in the third, it's also been well documented what Winnipeg's goaltending is capable of. And when they get on a heater, it's going to be difficult to score. So even if you're out shooting the other team, the quality of chances needs to be there. And without having those top tier players who are able to get you an easy goal, it becomes really difficult when you start trailing a team like Winnipeg.
I feel like you're on the same page as I am. I don't have any concern, even though Toronto has dropped four of their last five. But your tweet of the day was something that I was going to dial in on as well. But I'll let you read it because it was quite the interesting stat.
Yeah, perspective from TSN 1050's Leaf reporter Kristen Shelton. The Leafs have lost two games in regulation since March 19th, so they've earned 21 of a possible 28 points in the last month, while tied for the second best points percentage in the NHL. This isn't their best stretch of the season, but the sky isn't exactly falling either. So good perspective from our TSN 1050 Maple Leafs reporter, and I agree. Even though the Maple Leafs haven't had the most fortuitous results of late after going on what I believe was a 6 or 7 game win streak, I'm not worried at all about this group because they're in the contest every night. And ultimately, it's not going to be the regular season success, but the postseason success that this team is going to be judged on.
I'll stick with hockey for my tweet of the day. At Stat Center, giving TSN some love. Bo Horvat factored in all three goals last night, 2 goals, 1 assist. He's now tied for 6th. Among franchise centermen in goals. And just to give you an idea of who's in that mix, you got Trevor Linden, Sedins, Brendan Morrow.
Yeah.
Elite company, Kenny. So, Bo Horvat, man.
I'm surprised that he's that far up the list, to be honest. Like, he's young in his career. That's an impressive stat. Didn't realize that he was climbing up the Canucks' all-time ranks that quickly. Let's move to around the league. I'm going to buzz through a couple things here before I get to the topic of conversation that I would really like to chat about. Vegas Golden Knights, they're rolling. They've won 6 straight. The Bruins also won 4 straight with their win over Washington. Zach Werenski done for the year. He has surgery on a sports hernia, so he'll have to hang him up. The Avalanche have had their third game postponed due to their COVID outbreak. Three players currently on the COVID list, Grubauer, Byram, and Donskoy. So hopefully they can keep that contained before their postseason run. The big story, though, Brendan, Patrick Marleau. Right now, former Toronto Maple Leaf, noted San Jose Shark stalwart, is on the verge of NHL history tonight. He's going to play his 1,768th game, which will have him pass Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe, for the most games played ever in NHL history. An incredible, incredible accomplishment from Patrick Marleau tonight against the Vegas Golden Knights. What are your thoughts on Marleau's career and him passing Mr. Hockey?
It's a remarkable feat, and every time I read it, I'm like, wow. Like, seriously? He's about to do that? I mean, he has just been an absolute pioneer in this league. And obviously what he did for the Leafs and Mitch and Austin was huge for their development. And, man, I'm going to try and tune into that game because it's crazy how he's played in three different decades, really. And the teammates he's come across. He was drafted in, what, 97?
It was 98.
Yeah, 97, 98. So it just incredible. And, you know, we talk about beloved guys in the NHL. Patrick Marleau is probably one of those guys. You know, we talk so much about Campbell. Like, Marleau is probably the most beloved guy in the league.
Well, he's just well-respected around the league. A tremendous career. At the height of his career, one of the biggest scoring threats in the NHL, alongside Joe Thornton, a stalwart of those San Jose Sharks teams that were a perennial playoff threat for many, many years. And now to pass Mr. Hockey, this to me is so impressive because of his ability to stay healthy. It is so difficult in the NHL. We always talk about, you know, how physical the game is and how difficult it is to go an entire season without missing a game. I believe this guy is now on, you know, 700 or 800 games straight without missing a contest. And that's it's the sort of thing that you need to do if you're going to try to pass Mr. Hockey, because you can't be missing any games due to injury. No. Now Marleau's knocking on the door, and I feel like that's the most impressive part, is the best availability we talk about all the time is availability. And Marleau has been available for his respective franchises on a consistent basis throughout his career, and just hats off to him. Likely a record that will never be broken.
And you think of, like, the different training he's kind of experienced and endured with different teammates over the past 20 years. I mean, just the approach and the preparation for a game and the, you know, the different styles of players he's played with. And he's just able to stay physically fit and able to still compete with these young guys that, you know, he's in his, what, mid-40s? And he's just...
He's got a cryo tank in his bathroom at home. He can get that body recovering.
Yeah. He is Robert Downey Jr. He just will not stop.
No, it's been an outstanding career for Marleau. And you got to feel like I would not be surprised to see him come back for another season. But you got to feel after this accomplishment that this might be the end of the road for Patty. Just hop on your horse and ride off into the sunset on the top of the mountain for most NHL games played. Just such an impressive career. I can't say enough about this player, what he meant to the NHL, and what he's meant to the Toronto Maple Leafs young players when Lou Lamoriello brought him in. I know he got a little bit of a bad rap because he was aging and the contract was a little bit rich, but that is not an indictment against his character in any means. He's just been the consummate professional, and hats off to him for this accomplishment. Let's move to the library bar. All right, B-Mac, as always, you like the morning drinks, so who you got at the bar today?
I'm going to go with Sam Bennett, newly acquired Florida Panther at the trade deadline. I was able to cover his debut the other night, Saturday night, and he had 2 assists, 5 hits against Tampa Bay Lightning. Florida and Tampa, man, that was a fun game to watch. They're going to be fun in the postseason. And
when was
just
the last time those two teams were relevant?
Yeah,
seriously. like the where the cross-state rivals were actually rivals.
Yeah, exactly. So huge for Bennett, man. He just looks revitalized and just refreshed and enjoy some sort of equivalent to the Library Bar in Sunrise, man, because he had quite the debut and certainly made an impact. And he's playing with Duclair and Huberto, so much better than where he was playing in Calgary.
No, it's the fresh scenery sometimes can do a lot for a player.
Yeah.
Great coaching down there in Joel Quenneville. The team is on an absolute heater. Sometimes to get out of a losing atmosphere in a difficult locker room, like what Calgary is going through, and then get interjected into a winning culture that's already established is a great landing spot for him. Also, not to mention playing hockey in Florida.
That's
is
nice.
Not the worst place to end up. And certainly the bars are open down there. They're ready for business and gearing up for a deep playoff run. So great landing spot for Bennett. I often choose Toronto Raptors for the Library Bar, but this is a Toronto-based podcast, so I don't have no shame doing that. I'm going to go with General Manager Bobby Webster. The Raptors were fined $25,000 on Saturday night for violating the NBA's league policies for basically reporting injuries and rest. I don't think it's against the rules what they're doing right now. From what I understand, it was just a bureaucratic screw-up where the paperwork didn't go through. But basically, it's very evident now that the Toronto Raptors are trying to tank the rest of this season. They're resting key players out of the lineup. Last night, I believe it was Siakam, Lowry, OG Anunoby, Fred VanVleet. So four of their five starters were sitting out of the game. But despite the fact that they are intentionally trying to lose to get better drafting position, the team keeps winning. They beat Oklahoma City last night, who in the tank off, like nobody tanks better than Oklahoma City. I believe they have 27, draft picks in the first and second rounds over the next 7 years. And they're in the basement. They've lost, I think, 9 of 10 in the last little while. So they're writing the book on tanking right now. But Toronto keeps winning. They've won 3 straight now. I believe they jumped Chicago and Washington now for 10th place in the East, although those teams have a couple of games in hand. And they are knocking on the door for the NBA's play-in series. So despite the general manager and organization's best efforts, the team is not doing what the management wants it to do. So, Bobby Webster's got to be sitting there thinking, I'm resting, 4 out of 5 of our starters. If you pull a Gary Trent Jr., that'd be 5 out of 5. But the bench guys are getting it done. Last night it was Chris Boucher teeing off as the mayor of Montreal against Oklahoma City. So remains to be seen what happens down the stretch here, but Bobby and Masai have to be scratching their head thinking, how is this team performing without any NBA regulars?
Yeah, it's funny because they obviously intentionally rest their studs, and then here's Paul Watson Jr. dropping 30 points, a career high.
Utah Watanabe.
Stop. Like, Utah dropping 21. I'm like, they're probably like, stop doing that. It's like an 09 when, obviously management was trying to tank the Leafs to get John Tavares, and they got Martin Gerber for March and April, and they went on a 10-game winning streak, and they fell short of trying to solidify the 8th seed. It's like, just pick. Are you going to tank, or are you going to, make a decision? And everyone's got to buy in, because I don't know what the Raps are doing right now.
The one thing I will say is that if you're going to win, at least win with your young guys in the lineup, because these are valuable minutes. I've been very impressed with Malachi Flynn's play of late.
He's been
running the offense. He hasn't been turning the ball over. Decent production on the offensive end, but he's really learning how to read those NBA defenses and run the point for the Raptors, which is going to be important moving into the future. And it's been the bench guys who are seizing the opportunity. Freddie Gillespie solidified a second 10-day contract. He's looked great playing at the 5 for Toronto. I was going to almost said for the Leafs because I got the Leafs on the mind. But he's looked great playing for Toronto. Like you said, Watanabe seizing the opportunity the other night. It's these guys who are playing for their next contract.
Yep.
They don't want to tank. They're trying to show what they got and that they have the chops to be consistent, regular NBA players. And so if you're going to win with those guys in the lineup playing, the majority of the minutes, no problem with that. But if you're putting in, VanVleet and Lowry just to obliterate the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are doing basically the same thing, I don't think that's necessary in this point in time. And I understand why the organization is resting those players.
So for you, is it Boucher at the bar?
It's Bobby Webster at the bar.
It's Bobby. Okay.
Yeah, because he can't figure out how to get his team to lose despite resting everybody at the lineup. But Boucher could be at the bar after what was a career night for him last night. He was just draining three-pointers late in the game with the late putback to put the Raptors over the top. What you got on the docket for the rest of the day here at Borowski?
Covering Bryce Harper's Phillies later today, 7 p.m. first pitch. And I've been meaning to ask you this question before we take off. Does peanut butter deserve to be on waffles?
Does it deserve to be on waffles?
Yeah, like is it weird?
I would not be I would not be offended if somebody wanted to do that, but I wouldn't do it myself.
I think
I understand that's a breakfast condiment. So you can put that on then on other breakfast items, I think, and it's going to be acceptable. But I am not a big peanut butter guy. I don't like how it sticks to the inside of my mouth. It's just like it doesn't do it for me. My sister and my dad, big peanut butter fans. I could definitely see them putting on the waffles, but for me, when I get the waffle, it's like I like doing the Belgian waffle style. Lots of fruit, maybe strawberries, banana, blueberries, a little bit of whipped cream
Bougie
right on
syrup.
Top. Yeah, Bougie? Just so much Bougie. Sugar, just a sugar overdose to kick off my Sunday morning.
Well, the reason
that's
I asked
how I like
is because it was a heated debate on the Seattle Mariners broadcast yesterday, and they were doing player features, and one of the infielders said, oh, yeah, like, I think they were talking about breakfast items, and he's like, yeah, like, every day, like, I'll put peanut butter on my waffles, and, you know, the broadcast team was like, what? Like, they were all, like, stunned. I'm like, it's not that unorthodox. Like, I will put
peanut butter
on waffles and pancakes.
Like, I'm personally stunned that a professional athlete is eating waffles for breakfast every day.
Yeah, if they're playing at 1 p.m., just have a couple breakfast burritos, peanut butter, waffles, and...
Burritos? Who are you, Bryson DeChambeau?
Yeah, like if you're, you know, if you're a big boy, like I don't know, like Bartolo Colon or something, you need to
have a huge helping of whatever he wants. Yeah, that's fair. Anyways, thank you everybody for listening to this episode of Leafs Pod. Throw us a follow on Twitter at Ken Stapon, at BMcCarthy95, at Leafs Pod, at HockeyPodNets, and we'll catch you next time.